He went back to watching the fire. I was there the last time Jaya and her mother met. It was a game less than a year ago, not long after Genie had disappeared, between LD and LG. There would be lame deer and lodge grass. You are catching on. He sat the beer back down. Big medicine in that the game is tribal. Cheyenne versus Crow. I would have thought that Hardin would be more of a rival. Not so much of a tribal rivalry. Hardin is half white, or almost half white, so they do not count. Anyway, you cannot imagine how intense those games can be. I played in a Rose Bowl. And your point? I grunted a laugh. Go on. The reaches are extremely steep. And in that concrete building, the noise is ear-splitting. Half the crowd comes from Lame Deer, but you know you are in enemy territory. The teams always enter the building from the buses in groups, and no one is allowed to go anywhere on her own. Lodge Grass is good. They have more state championships than any other tribal team, almost as many as the national champion, Navajo Eagles. A town of 3,000 versus the largest reservation in the country? Impressive. On this res, you are born with a basketball in your hands. He started to lift the beer again, but then sat it back down. It was a very hard-fought game, tight, with a lot of physicality. Jaya was playing with a broken finger but refused to leave the game, just taped it over and scored 32 points. There was a girl on the Crow team who liked to set up in the paint and just live there like a monument. The referees allowed her to get away with it, but Jaya had had enough, finally driving in an attempt to take her out. He looked up at me. Have you ever seen her play? I mean, really play? No, I sat up. Even when we stopped at that 3-on-3 tournament in Billings a few months ago, we left before they actually played. She is truly phenomenal. So what happened? She pulled up momentarily at the top of the key, just enough to get the Crow girl moving toward her, and then charged forward, walking up her like a ladder and pivoting just enough to flip the ball home. As the Crow girl fell backward, she grabbed Jaya's foot, and after the ball went in, they tumbled under the basket and then against the wall, punching and kicking at each other the whole way. Where does Jaya's mother enter into this? At this exact point, Teresa was screaming and came out of the stands, stumbling drunk and dropping a bottle of Tenhai sour mash, but not so drunk that she could not grab a folding chair from the home bench, run across the court, and begin beating the Crow player with it. The bear sat forward, picking up a stick and probing the fire. The tribal police dragged her from the gymnasium, and she ended up in rehab again. Again? 9 times. The last time she spent a week in a padded cell, and the doctors pretty much told her that if her liver lasted till spring, it would be a miracle. He poked the fire and then tossed the stick into the rejuvenated flames. She wrote a note to Jaya, apologizing. It was not long after that that Jaya moved in with Lolo Long. Why not her grandparents? Jeannie had lived with them, and it is my understanding that Jaya did not wish to be reminded of her sister by sleeping in the same room as she had. Standing in the wide Prior Creek Valley, I looked south and watched a bright yellow crop duster bank along the barren hills and fly over the alkalized soil, freshly tilled for winter wheat. There was a combine running a pattern as well that moved back and forth across the dark earth like some gigantic green and yellow beetle that couldn't decide which way it really wanted to go. I'd been waiting for the better part of an hour for Lyndon Ironbull to finish up and talk to me, a conversation he had no idea we were going to have. Henry had elected to head north in my truck, away from the Crow Reservation, but had promised to come back and pick me up when he had gotten through knocking on the 3 doors within walking distance to the north. According to the official transcript under my left arm, Lyndon's wife Ethel had gone to the bathroom the night Jeannie went missing and had seen someone standing by their mailbox. Coming back to bed, she told her husband, who had gotten up, dressed, and walked out to the road where he found no one but had seen prints in a thin skiff of snow. Ethel had been kind enough to answer my questions and even offered me a piping cup of coffee before directing me to the field where her husband was working. She said he had poached an antelope yesterday, so to make sure he knew I wasn't a game warden or he might try to run over me. I stood at the gate, my coffee still steaming into the cool morning, frost clinging to every available surface. The combine seemed to be taking a little extra time over by the creek, where a small white cross was wired to the fence. Modern combines are a wonder, with closed, air-conditioned cabs, GPS steering, but the biggest thing about them is just that, the bigness. Almost four times larger than the machines I used to know in my youth. The new ones look like cities on wheels. As the metropolis rolled toward me on 8-foot tires, I thought about stepping into the wide opening of the gate. But without letting Iron Bull know which government agency I represented, it was possible I could become fertilizer. The big John Deere finally lurched to a stop halfway through the gate, and a glass door flung open.